So what evidence do Christians have for saying that the Bible is the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit? I want to give you some powerful evidence today. And the evidence I'm talking about is prophecy. Did you know that in a sense, the whole Bible could be called a prophetic book? I want to use as a text for you today, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, where in the last part of verse 9, it says, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done. Let me repeat that. God said, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done. Prophecy is one of the strongest evidences that we have that the Bible came from another dimension. It came from God. To understand what I'm talking about here, we need to first kind of define the word prophecy. What do we mean by saying the word prophecy or saying that the Bible is a prophetic book? Well, prophecy actually has more than one definition. There's at least two. The most common definition, the one people think of the most, is that prophecy means foretelling, predicting things, you know. And that lumps the Bible into sort of the same category as Nostradamus or Jean Dixon, for those of you who remember her. And indeed, the Bible does have many predictive prophecies, though it's of a totally higher caliber than those two people I just mentioned. We're going to look at some of those prophecies today. But before that, I want to mention to you that prophecy also has the meaning forthtelling rather than foretelling. By that, I mean that prophecy is telling forth or speaking forth something God inspires a person to say. There's even a verse in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 14:3 that says the New Testament spiritual gift of prophecy is to edify people or exhort them or to comfort them. And so there you have that idea, even in the New Testament, of not just foretelling, but rather forthtelling, speaking forth what God wants to say. And you'll notice there in 1 Corinthians 14, doesn't say anything about predicting people's futures. Now, we find both kinds of prophecy in the Bible, both foretelling and forthtelling. And as I said, we'll look at the predictive prophecy in just a minute. But there are actually probably more of the other kind, if you want to know the truth, where prophets just told the Israelites or God's people what he wanted to say to them in certain given situations. For example, when Israel was first brought out of Egypt and they were trapped on the shore of the Red Sea and the Pharaoh and his army came after them, God spoke through Pharaoh to encourage his people. He said, don't be afraid, stand still, and you'll see the salvation of your God. So that wasn't predicting the future. You know, really, it was encouraging. It was telling them, God's with you. He's going to protect you. Don't worry. We find the same thing in 2 Chronicles 20, where there's a godly king, Jehoshaphat, and he's been doing the right thing, but yet an enemy comes against him with about a million man army. So he's really afraid, but he takes Israel to prayer. They seek God. They say, God, what are we going to do? Help us. And the Spirit of God comes on a man named Jahaziel, and he prophesies. And he says pretty much what Moses said back there in the earlier verse. He said, stand still. Don't be afraid. Tomorrow God's going to fight for you and win the victory for you. So God would speak forth words of encouragement when his people were right with him. Now, when they weren't right with him, and there are a lot of times, unfortunately, in their history where they weren't doing the right thing, God also had prophets speak to them in those situations. And he would send people to rebuke them and tell them that they're off the track, they're breaking his covenant, and that judgments are going to fall upon them if they don't get back and repent and do what they're supposed to do. You can find lots of examples of this. Elijah's one of these prophets. He came to the most wicked king Israel had, Ahab, and he told him, you're not obeying the covenant, you're worshiping Baal, you know, you're worshiping other gods, and a drought's gonna come on the land if you don't repent. And, you know, we find lots of examples like this. Elisha also prophesied such things. When you get to the 12 minor prophets, you find a lot of it. Of course, the major prophets too, because Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they spoke to Israel and told them, you know, you're not doing right. Repent or something bad is going to happen. So it was speaking forth what God wanted to say to his people. Did you know, I thought that this was quite interesting. Did you know that the Jews called the writers of Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, did you know that they called those writers the early prophets or the former prophets? Yeah. And then they called Isaiah and Jeremiah and them the latter prophets. So those people that I just mentioned that wrote all those books, they didn't predict Israel's future. They wrote history. Why were they called prophets? Well, because they wrote history from God's perspective, interpreting it so that the people of that time and also all others who've read it ever since could understand what was going on, what the people were doing, and how God was speaking to them in that situation. So they spoke forth and they wrote forth history from God's perspective to give people an understanding of what God wants to say to us in situations of our lives. It's also very interesting to me that there's quite a few places in the Old Testament, not just the New, but the Old Testament, where you find prophets speaking words for individuals. David, of course, was confronted by Nathan. He had a word for him. He said, you're the man, David, and you've gone off and you've sinned. And he rebuked him. And then, of course, there's a widow woman in 1 Kings 17 that Elijah says, you know, give me some food. And she goes, look, this is all I got. I'm about to eat this and die. And he says, look, this is what God says to you. You're not going to die. Feed the man of God and you'll be taken care of. Likewise, in Jeremiah 45, there's a message that Jeremiah gives to his assistant, Baruch. And he gives him some like correction for his life and some understanding of how he should respond. So what we see there is forthtelling, God's prophets telling folks what God wanted them to say. But as I said in the beginning, did you know there's a sense in which the whole Bible is a prophetic book? Yeah, the whole Bible is prophetic. It's, first of all, prophetic in that sense of forthtelling because it's God's word to mankind. And the Spirit inspired the scriptures, and the holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Spirit. And so what they wrote was what God wanted to say. He wanted to say it at that time, and he still speaks through it to us today. When we read the scriptures, we find out how God dealt with people in the past so we can understand how we should relate with him in our lives. And so he talks about, or the scriptures talk about his holiness, about our sin, the sin of the people, why we need him to save us and so forth. In the Bible, we constantly see the importance of a faith relationship with God. Everyone isn't in the same condition before God. So he doesn't speak to everyone the same. He speaks to people according to how they're interacting and relating and how they're obeying him or not obeying him. And that's why the Bible says that it is actually that the word is living and active, because it applies to every one of us personally. That's what makes the word of God so beautiful. That's why when you read the Bible day by day, if you're a Christian or even if you're not, you'll sometimes sense God is speaking to you from a verse or a section in a certain way. And maybe next year, if you read that same part, you don't feel that. You feel it from some other section. It's because the Holy Spirit applies the word to us where we're at, and he adapts it to our situation. That's some mystery in the supernatural aspect of the Bible. But of course, what I want to major on today is the foretelling aspect of prophecy. Because that's the thing that I think can really show evidence, gives us evidence that God spoke through the Bible. Did you know that there's a difference, you know, some differences in calculation between different scholars, but did you know that in the Bible there's somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 prophetic verses? 3,000 and 4,000. And roughly about half of those, about 2,000 of those, have already been fulfilled. So the Bible's a prophetic book, and it's one of the wonders of the Bible because, you know, there's lots of so-called holy books, but none of them has prophecies like the Bible does. The Book of Mormon has two. They haven't been fulfilled. The Quran has none. The Hindu Vedas don't have any. Buddha didn't write any prophecies. The you know, other books that were written by Lao Tzu or whoever, they don't contain prophecies, you know? They don't. The Bible's the only book that has actual specific things that are predicted that then came to pass. And so that's the point of the verse I started with today, Isaiah 46, the end of 9 and the verse 10. The point of that verse is to say that being able to predict the future is powerful evidence that God is God, because nobody else can do that, you see? Nobody can predict the future. You just can't do it. Why can God do it? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, because he's omniscient. He knows the future in every detail. But number two, because he's omnipotent, and he can actually work to fulfill whatever word he predicts. He can see to it that whatever he predicts comes to pass. So the Bible is a prophetic book. It's filled with prophecy. By the way, we could also say that the Bible is prophetic because really somebody has said this. I can't remember which scholars, but lots of people have said this kind of thing. You could say the whole theme of the Bible in both Old and New Testaments is the same. Messiah is coming, or you could say Jesus is coming. Because in the Old Testament, it predicts the coming of Messiah. And in the New Testament, it predicts his second coming. So both Testaments tell us the Messiah is coming. And those of us who are Christians, of course, we believe that means Jesus is coming. So the Bible is a prophetic book, and it's amazing. Now, let's spend a little time and look at some of the specific prophecies that show God's foreknowledge so that you can understand what I'm talking about here. There are many prophecies, many, 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 especially about Israel. For example, Abraham's the first Jew. From him came all the Jews and all the whole nation of Israel, right? Well, God spoke to Abraham before he had any descendants, and he told him that those descendants of his were going to go down into Egypt and they would be slaves for 400 years, and then God was going to bring them out from there. This happened way before the time. They had to go down there, they had to multiply and grow, and then they had to be there 400 years as slaves and then come out. God predicted this in Genesis 15, way before the time. Here's another one. God spoke through Moses that Israel would eventually be banished from the promised land. He was taking them up to the promised land. They were about to go in, but yet before they even went in, he told them eventually they were going to get kicked out because of their sins, hundreds of years before this happened. And we find that in several places, but especially Deuteronomy 28:64. He says, you're going to be kicked out in exile. God told Isaiah and also the prophet Amos. He told them specifically that when the people of Judah were kicked out, they would be taken to Babylon, not just anywhere, but to Babylon. That's in Isaiah 39:6 and Amos 5:27. God told Jeremiah that their precious temple that was the center of their lives was going to be destroyed. He told them that before it happened. God told both Isaiah and Ezekiel that later on, he was going to bring them back from that captivity in Babylon. He was going to bring them home, put them in their land again. He even told Isaiah the name of the Persian king, a man named Cyrus. He told Isaiah his name 150 years before the man was born and described some details about how Cyrus was going to overtake the Babylonians because he had to conquer Babylon in order to send Israel home. And so the Bible in Isaiah 44 and 45 even tells some of those details. God predicted the destruction then of Babylon centuries before it happened through Jeremiah. That city would be destroyed and nobody would live there. God tells the details of that. Some of the most amazing prophecies, one of my favorite books is the book of Daniel because it has the most amazing prophecies in it. We could spend many, many sessions on this, but in the book of Daniel, we find that God revealed to him coming world empires in several chapters. He told him of the four coming empires that were going to come on the scene. He also foretold the coming of Alexander the Great and told of his death and of the people who would take over after him. How Alexander the Great would have four successors after his death. Daniel predicted the first Antichrist. He also predicted the second destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the second temple before that second temple had even been built or Jerusalem had even been rebuilt. He predicted this long before it happened. It's amazing. Daniel's one of the most amazing prophets. Without a doubt, the most important theme of Old Testament prophecy was the coming of Messiah. You need to understand that. And Jesus of Nazareth actually fulfilled more than 300 specific prophecies in his life and in his ministry. It is just amazing. And if you want me to, just send me an email and I'll send you a document with about 30 or 40 of them. But you can find books on this. You can look this up online. But he fulfilled something like 300 plus prophecies in his first coming. Let me list a few of them. His coming as the seed of the woman, you know, through Eve, which actually speaks of virgin birth. That's also in Isaiah. It's in Genesis and also in Isaiah. He was to be the seed of Abraham. He was to be of the tribe of Judah, and he was to be a son of David. The place of his birth was predicted, and in Daniel, even the general time of his birth was predicted. By the way, that means the prediction was time sensitive. So Messiah had to come, and you can look this up, but Daniel chapter 9 says the Messiah had to come before the second temple was destroyed. And that second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, folks. So if you don't have a Messiah who came before 70 AD, there ain't going to be one, because it's too late. It's out of time. But the fact that the Messiah would be cut off and then the second temple would be destroyed, it's in the book of Daniel. Jesus' escape into Egypt as a baby is predicted. The slaughter of the innocents is predicted. The fact that he would die an atoning death between thieves is predicted. Even his last words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those were written 650 years before his time. Or really more than that, actually 1,000 years before his time. That he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. That he'd even that he'd rise from the dead is predicted in Isaiah 53 and 52. I can show it to you sometime. What would the chances be? That's what I want to ask you. That anybody could fulfill this many predictions. These were all written hundreds of years before Jesus came. How could anyone fulfill all those? You can't work this up. You can't con this or manipulate this. How can anyone fulfill this? The odds of fulfilling them are just astronomical. The odds of not being able to fulfill them, I should say. And yet, we're talking about it right now, the person who did it. Now, so as I wrap up, Bible prophecy is tremendously significant for us today. That's the most important thing. This has tremendous significance. Why? Because again, only God knows and can predict the end from the beginning. That's what Isaiah 46 says. Only God knows the end from the beginning, and only he can predict it. So prophecy is one of the most powerful evidences that our Bible is divine rather than human in origin. It came from another dimension, folks. It came from the spirit world. It came from the supernatural God. It didn't come from human beings. Prophecy is an evidence of that. And if you want to know the truth, prophecy is even a stronger evidence than miracles. Why? Because somebody can say they had cancer and then they're healed. That's a miracle. The folks who know them, the doctor perhaps says, wow, I think it was a miracle. That's amazing. But that doesn't get, you know, spread all over the place. And you can't nail it down as well as you can prophecy. If you write something 1,000 years before it happens and then it takes place and you can show it, and it's written in black and white. I mean, it's written on scrolls and parchments and all that kind of stuff. That's more powerful even than miracles. And as I said, the Bible has about roughly 4,000 prophecies, 2,000 of which have already been fulfilled. So this proves there is a supernatural, omnipotent, omniscient God who can speak and who has spoken. So it's evidence, you see. The prophecy in the Bible is strong evidence to support our faith. It's strong evidence to prove that the Bible is God's word, that it's true, that it's clear, that it's absolutely trustworthy. So what the Bible tells us about God and about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and about ourselves, that we're sinners, that we need to be saved, that we're lost, that there's going to be a future judgment, all the things the Bible teaches, we can trust those things. Prophecy helps us to understand the Bible is trustworthy. So we can look to it and we can be confident of what it says to us. Now, specifically, the prophecies about Messiah are tremendously significant for our lives. Why? Because, folks, they're like neon signs pointing to Jesus. Think about this. God, over centuries of time, predicted so many aspects of the life of Messiah. Like I said, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, has to flee to Egypt, this and that and the other, does miracles, has the Spirit come upon him, so many things. Will die between thieves, be buried in a rich man's tomb, will be raised from the dead. God put all these things in writing hundreds of years before they happened. I was searching on the internet and I found this picture, which I'm going to put on the video and also my PowerPoint. I just thought it was a kind of a cool picture someplace. I think it's in Spain, where there's kind of like, you'll see these different doorways and they seem to be lit up, you know, around the perimeter of the doorway. And it seems like there's a series of doors, you know. And I just thought that that was a good picture of what we're talking about here. Because these prophecies are like a series of doors lit up by neon signs going back hundreds and thousands of years. And it's like God says, if you see somebody come through that door, and then that one after it, and then that one after it, and then that one after it, and then you that one after it, and you know, 300 of them, if you see somebody that comes through all those doors, you can know that is the one, the anointed one. That's the Messiah. That's the Christ. That's the Savior. That's the one I told Eve about that would crush the serpent's head. That's the one that would be like David and defeat all God's enemies and save Israel and build them up. That's the one who will save souls and put the laws of God in the hearts and minds of people, and will bring peace to the world, and will judge the world, and will destroy the devil and drive out darkness and change every one of us and restore us to the image of God and restore our lost inheritance that we lost when Adam and Eve fell in sin. That's the one. That one. The one who walks through all those doors. This is my beloved Son. This is the Savior of the world. This is the one who will save you. This is the one you must submit to, bow before, worship, and seek. The Magi came from, you know, Iraq or Iran all the way over to Israel, searching for him who was born King of the Jews. When we look at these prophecies, it's meant to stir in us that same kind of idea that there's the King of the Jews who's been born. He came through all these prophecies. We must search him out. We must worship him. We must submit to him. So today, if you're a Christian, let this be a strong encouragement to you. The prophecy of the Bible gives you strong evidence for your faith. You can trust God and you can trust his word. No matter what's going on in this world, Christ is truly our hope of glory. If you're not a Christian, I hope you'll let this evidence kind of motivate you, wake you up. Hey, God has given you evidence. He's given you signs. You know, there's like flashing neon signs out there. You better look into that. See who they point to, because they'll give you the faith you need to be saved. Till next time, put that in your heart and mind. Think about that. Pray about it, will you? And may the Lord richly bless you with it.